Asimbonanga, this is by Ujuluga, Johnny Clegg. Now, this choice of song.
Okay, this song for me was really about Madiba, because the whole climb was not just about the girls, it was about celebrating his 100th, or what would have been his 100th birthday.
Correct.
So I've always liked it. I mean, as a child, I didn't know what it meant. And as I grew up, it had more and more meaning, and also told me more of a story about the country we were in at that point when this song was composed. So it's always been a favorite song, but also it's grown with me in terms of understanding the depth of the meaning of the song and the situation the country was in when this song was out.
We don't have to undergo elaborate physical endurance tests, but we can, and I guess must, stay the course of life's journey along the rocky and sometimes mountainous terrain of hardships, keeping the goals and covenants we have made to reach the highest peak in the internal realms. Now, did you as Umpume find that your endurance, your strength and determination were tested to the highest limit?
Definitely. I mean, at an emotional level, at a financial level and physical level. But focus is the main thing, and also not deterring from your why. You know, I always had to revisit, why am I doing this? And the why kept me strong, even when I thought, oh my God, the 85,000 is not coming together. But I was very positive that somehow, you know,
you something became Zulu like that.
But also I struggle with low iron levels. And if you have low iron levels, you have low blood pressure, and the oxygen issues become an issue. So when the doctor asked my medical aid if I can have an intravenous iron thing, because my body doesn't absorb tablet format iron supplements, medical aid said, well, it's your choice to be climbing a mountain. Your iron is fine right where you are. So then the doctor said, no, we will do injections. I'm terrified of injections. So I had to have four injections. So that's just part of the strength that I had to gather each time I went to the doctor, because each day I had to get this injection. And yeah, it's made me a better person at all levels. You know, as you know, mentally, I believe in myself more, and I believe that whatever I focus on, I can achieve. You know, it's really amazing. I feel like a different person completely.
Unbelievable. Now, let's talk about the weather.
Yes.
What types of weather did you have? Did you find that the weather changed on a regular basis, on a daily basis, especially as you kept on climbing higher?
Yeah, when we arrived in Dar es Salaam, we had left OR Tambo at about 10:30 in the morning, and it was cold. We were dressed up in our jackets and everything. We got to Dar es Salaam. It was so hot. It felt like a summer's day in Maritzburg, like when the temperature is like 30
Maritzburg
or 40.
And Maritzburg can be hot. Yes.
Yeah. So we had to strip all our jackets and things. We were like left with T-shirts or vests or whatever. And then we got on the flight to Kilimanjaro. Then we were back to sort of kind of winterish weather like we have right now.
Yes.
And, when we started the climb, we walked through a rainforest. So it was cool weather, but it wasn't cold. And, yeah, it was drizzly. It was almost wet. It wasn't really raining, but, you know, it was a rainforesty kind of weather.
Yes.
But as we progressed, it changed. So in the 5 days, we probably went through three different climates, because it's the rainforest,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and then the desert.
Yes.
And then now the snow and ice at the top. Mm. Like I said,
were you prepared for that?
We were very prepared. We had, I think the bulk of our luggage was made up of our summit gear.
Yeah.
We had thermal leggings and vests. And then we had some fleece pants on. And then we had waterproof pants that we had to wear. But the jackets as well and the beanies and everything else that, you know, would keep us warm. We were wearing two pairs of socks, some three pairs of socks with our boots.
Like I wear frostbite.
Yeah. Yes. I wear a size 5 shoe, but I had to take size 7 boots to for space, to create space for the many layers
pairs
of socks.
Man.
And then we had our trekking poles to support us.
Yes.
It was, okay, we left the camp, the last camp, Kibo camp, at 10 in the evening. At night, actually, and we walked through, and when the sun came up, suddenly I saw all the ice that I was going to walk through. I have very interesting pictures of when I looked ahead, because we had been warned to just look where you're walking, step by step.
Nowhere else.
Don't look ahead, because that can be discouraging. But, you know, we are human. You want to see how far, and... Yeah, so it was just white. There was no trees, nothing. It was just, like, you'd see a little bit of rocks, but it was just ice.
With that said, now let's talk about your mind,
yes.
especially when you were advised not to look ahead. Just look down, focus on your steps.
Yes.
What was playing in your mind at that time? As you were now going higher and higher?
As I was going higher and higher, I just remembered pole, and focus on your why. The funny thing is I don't remember feeling cold. I don't remember being worried about frostbite and anything. I was focused onto the summit. And I don't even remember. I think most of my colleagues walked... ahead of me, because I sat for that 45 minutes.
Yes.
And I remember just walking and walking. I don't remember anyone around me. And I think that's when the strength, the prayers and everything and the why were playing in my head. And it's really funny. I don't remember feeling cold. And when I look at the photo that I took when I got to the summit, I'm not even wearing the gloves. I'm like... Oh,
smiling. I mean, I got cold by looking at that photo.
Yeah, I was like, oh my word, I made it. I found a whole lot of my colleagues there. They waited and we took a group photo. Some had left, but half the team was there.
Yes, yes.
I think about 25 of the 46 made it to the top.
Was this due to ill, like, health issues?
Yeah, four people. Okay, one broke her leg, so she ended up in hospital. Another sprained her ankle. The third one had a chest infection. So the doctor, because we traveled with a doctor.
Yes.
So we got checked every step of the way. And then the fourth, I think it was dehydration. She threw up until she was really dehydrated. But others had other challenges, like they just couldn't carry on.
Okay.
And others hallucinated. You know, you hallucinate when you have less oxygen.
Wow.
Like one colleague said he saw a red fox in the forest, and there was no forest there. Yeah, so all sorts of things happen with your mind, with your brain.
So the doctor has to take the call to say,
yeah,
you're staying behind.
You're staying behind. He checks your heart rate, he checks your oxygen, and would say, no, you can't carry on. I mean, we all wanted to, but then we were warned before that, look, we have to listen to the doctor.
Indeed.
Because otherwise we don't want drama at the top.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, look at...
Yeah.
What happened to Gugu?
I believe when your time has come, your time has come.
Oh, yes.
You know, we can't blame it on really anything. You know, when God has called you, you just got to...
That's the time.
Yeah.
Right? Now, in terms of unseen enemies, you are talking about hallucinating. But in this instance, things such as poor discipline, bad judgment, and an unfocused mind. Mm. Did you see yourself going through any of those things?
No. I knew that because Sibusiso is an amazing leader.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of each trek, of each day, he would call all of us and would brief us about how we are behaving or how we are doing. You know, he would congratulate us where we are doing well. I think the first and second day, he wasn't happy with our pace. He felt like we were walking too fast, which was going to cause problems for Summit because the lungs need to acclimatize.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think from the third day, we were very self-aware in terms of our behavior and things that could be limiting in terms of our performance. And I found that we didn't need to even call each other to order, you know, because
we were really disciplined.
We were very disciplined and, you know, and it worked in our favor. Even those that did not get right to the top, I think that most of us got close enough. I mean, I felt bad with for some of the colleagues because it was like 500 meters before they could get to the summit, but they couldn't.
They couldn't carry on.
Yeah.
Yes, at times our bodies do tend to disappoint us.
Yeah.
As you hiked higher up the mountain, did it become clear to you that this was no minor climb? That climbing required hard work, dedication, discipline, unity, and a mighty resolve?
Definitely. But for me, like I said, I'm always, I don't think I've said it in the past hour, but I'm always looking for challenges. For me, as I was getting closer and closer to the summit, I was thinking, I need another challenge.
Even before you got there.
Even before, as soon as I saw my colleagues in the distance, and already I must just say that at that point, I was feeling dizzy. And but I looked straight ahead. I said, that is where I'm gonna stop,
going there.
You know. And I didn't feel anything else except lightheadedness. And I think those guides are very well trained because suddenly one of them was next to me and he said, what help do you need? I said to him, if you can hold my jacket, because I felt like I'm feeling hot.
Okay,
so
right.
I took off my summit jacket and he held on to it, and then he just walked quietly next to me and I just carried on and on and on. Yes, discipline is important, but I think I need more of a challenge to get even more disciplined.
Because we are talking altitudes of about, what, 4,673 meters or something like that, or even
higher? At the top, it was 5,895.
Did you find at that time that God had blessed you with inspired leaders? Did you go through any form of scriptures with the team? And also, you know, the guides?
I felt blessed as, you know, after the first day, just being part of that team that I was with.
Mm.
And the kind of people that we found there working with us, and having Sibusiso with us, who we all trust, because we know where he's been, what he's climbed, and, you know. And even though he has a militaristic way of leading, and you see why in the end.
Okay.
Because, yeah, he doesn't want anyone who gets off the way. You know, once he's set a rule, it should be there. It would be the rule. Like he would say, okay, we're starting the day today. Do not ask me any questions about yesterday or tomorrow.
So his focus was very focused only on that point, that day.
That
nothing
day,
else,
at yes. that point, nothing else. And that taught me a lot, actually, because I can be a scatterbrain. I can start thinking ahead and feeling like, okay, what will happen when I get there and whatever. It forced me to think about now and the step that I'm taking right now. But also talking about being blessed and God being with us, I, you know, we pride ourselves about being a country of Ubuntu. I felt as if God sent us there to learn
more Ubuntu.
About Ubuntu. And I mean, the selflessness, the way those people serve, they serve without expecting anything. If you give them something, great. If you don't, they're happy to help you and move on. You know, I felt so blessed that way that I've been shown that, you know, the pride that I had about our Ubuntu actually needs to get better as a country.
Yeah. Now, to someone out there, someone listening, what advice would you give, especially on the concept of Ubuntu? Because there is a notion that we have lost our Ubuntu. We do not have Ubuntu anymore. With your experience coming from this climb, what advice would you give to someone listening out there in terms of enhancing Ubuntu or getting back to basics, Zobuntu?
I think what I would say is, okay, it starts with where we come from. We always say charity begins at home.
Correct.
I think Ubuntu needs to start in the home. How we share with our siblings, how we share with our families, how we take into consideration other people's suffering and not putting ourselves first. Yes, you need to put yourself first to make sure that you have enough to be able to give to another person. But the sense of entitlement should end. And it all starts with the individual. You know, once you're out of your home, you are there as an individual out in the world. It starts with you. The goodness that we extend to other people needs to start with you. So that's how we can enhance our Ubuntu.
It starts with you. We're just going for a small musical break. And we have Ubuntu Bam. Isn't it interesting?
Yes.
Ubuntu Bam by Usiphokazi. And that is Usiphokazi singing Ubuntu Bam. You were just reflecting on that song and sharing with us how deep it is. What does it mean to you?
Well, the chorus repeatedly says, "Ukuqala kobulumko kukoyika uJehova," which means a lot about your fear of God, knowing God and, you know, understanding Him. And fearing Him, not fearing like to run away, but to respect Him. And in difficult times, this is the song that I have playing in my ears on repeat. And whether I'm at work and when I was climbing at some point, it was on my phone until the battery died. And there was no way to charge. Yeah.
Mbume, with everything that we have spoken about, everything that we've actually covered, though, again, an hour and 20 minutes doesn't really cover who you are, doesn't really celebrate who you are. But within this short space of time that we've had with you, the experience that you've shared with us, we are truly humbled. We are truly honored. We are just blessed to have you with us. And you are a true inspiration to us, not only here at Radio Veritas, because your story is one that we hope and pray will inspire a whole lot of other women out there who are faced with whatever challenges that they may be faced with. You are proof enough that it can be done and it has been done.
Yes. Well, thanks for those very inspiring and kind words. I feel strong and I know that I'm a tiny person but I was able.
Dynamite comes in small packages.
To climb the mountain. They say it's not the mountain that you conquer when you climb, but it is yourself. And I proved that for myself. It was just a saying before, but now I know that it is the truth. And also, when you set your mind to achieving something, you are going to be able to if you stay focused.
Absolutely.
So I encourage everyone to set their goals. It may not be a mountain, but whatever challenge that they set for themselves, to stay focused, to be able to achieve the results.
Pole.
Yes.
It is clear that our Heavenly Father yearns for our return. He knows we will climb many great challenging spiritual mountains in our lives, but He is there, quietly encouraging us, cheering us on, consistently to reach higher and higher, providing us with constant support from the Savior, from the Holy Ghost, and from our fellow saints. You bear testimony of Him, who is the Son of the living God, the beginning and the end, even in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Mbume, for giving us your time, for being a source of inspiration. We will definitely be calling on you. I am certain that a whole lot of young girls, a whole lot of women that are listening, and of course men, we can't, as you said, this program was actually or is spearheaded by men. What a lovely initiative that they actually took upon themselves, and you as a woman took up the challenge as well. And yes, you've now moved on the baton. We will be joining you next year.
Thank you. Do that.
Yes, I know. And good luck with Mount Everest.
Yes.
Your preparations again this year. As you mentioned that while you were still there going towards the summit, you were asking what next.
Yes.
So it is Everest next. Hey?
It is Everest Base Camp. We might go slightly higher to Kalapata, which is a mountain higher than Everest Base Camp.
We will be here praying for you.
Definitely. Thank you.
Excellent.
Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. A big thank you to Simba Rashihonde, our producer. A big thank you to Tato Mogwena, our technical producer. And from yours truly, Umahadi Wakwabutelezi, standing in for Father Brian Ndabaning Mhlanga, OP Umfundisi Dumo. I bid you farewell and have yourselves a beautiful weekend. We close with Kilimanjaro by Jambo Bwana.